Please turn with me to Psalm 65, where we'll have our meditation today. Psalm 65, we have the superscription to the chief musician. And I'm still not really clear if this is a dedication or an assignment or what, and maybe I ought to give up mentioning that. But in any case, it's kind of an administrative detail. It is a Psalm of David. As well, it's a song, and I'll mention something about that in just a moment. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Well, this is a psalm of David and a song. And this goes right along with what we see in Ephesians and Colossians about using psalms and hymns and songs spiritual. The Greek word spiritual, it's an adjective that goes across all three of those. It would be like talking about blue sky and sea and sapphires. All right? The blue describes all three. Now, in the Greek language, it would be at the end of that series of nouns, not at the beginning. But in any case, a spiritual thing in the New Testament, and that's where we're quoting from at the moment, means it is given by the Spirit. It doesn't mean that it has to do with the spirit world as opposed to this earthly, temporal sort of existence that we have, you know, or that it's opposed to the secular. That's not what it means. No, it means that which is given by the Spirit. No mere words of man can have anything to do with that. A spiritual song is one given by the Spirit. A spiritual psalm, a spiritual hymn, is that which is given by the Spirit. And what is the Spirit talking about as he is speaking to us, or as he has written for us through the Apostle Paul? Why, it is these that are, for example, psalms and songs spiritually. And there are some of these psalms that are also called particularly hymns. At least that is the Greek translation in the Septuagint Greek version of the Old Testament. What Paul is talking about are three subdivisions of the Psalms of the Bible. Psalms, hymns, and songs spiritual. Three different types of psalms. Well, this particular one breaks fairly easily into two portions. Verses 1 through 5, verses 6 through 13. In the first five verses, David is led also by the Holy Spirit, of course. He is led to be speaking with thankfulness of God's great mercy and his great grace. He is praising God for his goodness. We can see here how he is talking about praise and such, because God is the one who hears prayer, who provides atonement for sin, who sovereignly elects his people, as we see there in verse 4, and who satisfies with the goodness of his house, of his holy temple, that which was, at the time, a picture. Actually, when David wrote it, the temple wasn't even built yet. He anticipated it, but it was for the use of people later as well, the tabernacle. But both spoke of God's redemptive promises and of the one who was to come, who was to be the sacrificial sin bearer, who was to be the great high priest who would offer him. And as we are in the time, in the calendar, in the Jewish calendar, around the time of the new year, we are around the Jewish time of the Day of Atonement. Why, it's appropriate to think of that here. Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the goat of the sacrifice. Jesus is the sin bearer. God provided the atonement in his grace. He then hears prayer and answers in awesome ways, as we see in verse 5, because he is the God of our salvation. And not just for the Jews, he is the confidence of the ends of the earth. He is the one upon whom people would trust from sea to shining sea. Kind of quote from another human source. Now, verse 5 is also kind of a transition, because we see him, where David is talking there, or God is moving David to be speaking of the far-off seas, and then he goes off into talking about giving God praise for his not only kind grace, but giving him praise for his kind providences. Now, as we've been going through the shorter catechism, we just dealt with the question 11, having to do with God's work of providence. And we see it working out here. He is the one who's created the mountains powerfully and who has put the seas in their place, having told them you can go no further. But not only that, David very elegantly here says not only did he set the seas for their bounds, but the tumults and the roaring of the peoples as well. Evil can only go so far. God does not allow it to go any further. He does this in power. Even the faraway people are afraid of God's signs, as we see in verse 8, and that's speaking of what we just sang about in the first part of Psalm 19, how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. People in far-off places can see God's splendor. People in far-off places can see his glorious working and know somewhat of his glorious nature, even though creation is somewhat fallen, and we'll be looking at that in the sermon. Isn't it wonderful how this all ties together? Even though man's heart is dead, and spiritually speaking, and the image of God that is in him is marred, even yet there is some knowing. There is some, well, as the Scots would say, kenning. That God is there. He is majestic. He is wise and he is great. We see Paul expounding that in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And again, I'll be alluding to that in the sermon today. They who see are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. And then we go into a beautiful picture of God's providence and how he cares for his land. Now, this wouldn't have appeared so beautiful for us back in June, when we were having flooding, and it was very, very soggy. But it is almost never that way in Israel of David's day or of our own day. It tends to be rather dry. Well, very dry the farther south you get. Up in the far north around Mount Hermon, which is still there and all, nice and green there. But the farther you go south into the desert lands, the far south of modern day and ancient Israel, the Negev. It's very, very dry there. And so rain is always a precious, precious commodity. Droughts are far more of a problem than floods. There are nearly never floods, but there are frequently droughts. And so the picture here of the watering the ground and enriching it, providing grain which God has prepared, the picture here of the land being watered, the clods in the furrows from the plowing being broken down by the pelting of the rain, the showers that soften up that hard ground, all of that is blessing from God. And so God crowns the year with goodness, his kindness to his people. Your paths drip with abundance. You know, once again, in a dry land, dripping is a wonderful thing. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. Why, even the wild animals are cared for by God, as well as the domesticated ones. The pastures are clothed with flocks, as God gives them blessing and growth. The valleys are covered with grain. Of course, all shouts with joy, all sings. All this is from our kind, from our good God. And all comes through the blessing of Jesus Christ. It is because of his coming to fulfill all the promises. It is because of his perfect life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection, his glorious ascension, that we have the grace of God extended to us, while at the same time he is entirely just, holy, and righteous. It is due to the work of Christ that all these blessings of providence end up being everlastingly blessings to us, instead of held against us eventually. The good things that sadly sinners spurn, maybe take for granted, not realizing that the goodness of God is intended to lead them to repentance. We have all this goodness. We have it all in Christ. Let's rejoice about it. We'll do so by singing the second part of Psalm 65, Psalm 65b.